coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Welcome. Today we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 24. This is the first lesson for the third Sunday after Pentecost. From the English Standard Version, our text reads, "Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse, and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, 'What do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?' 'Give me your son,' Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, 'Lord, my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?' Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, 'Lord, my God, let this boy's life return to him.' The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, 'Look, your son is alive.' Then the woman said to Elijah, 'Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth.'" For a while now, Israel had come to believe in the false god Baal. It is no real coincidence, then, that he was attributed the honor of being the one to give life. Baal was the Canaanite god responsible for the weather. He sent rain, and with the rain, crops, and with crops, again, life. So what is happening in our text? For over 3 years, at the word of Yahweh, the Lord, the God of Israel, it didn't rain. No rain, no crops. Widespread starvation and death ensued. And yet Elijah, the prophet of Yahweh, had miraculously preserved life for a widow and her son, even though she was a Canaanite, even though it was her God who was so miserably failing. But then the widow's son dies, not of starvation, but of illness. So who was the widow to believe? Who was responsible for her son's death? Who brought life? She wished she'd never met Elijah, that he'd taken his words from Yahweh somewhere else. So, what are we to make of this? Well, first of all, let's focus on the fact that, as claimed, Elijah really did bring the word of God to this household. If this is true, then there is indeed hope. Elijah speaks a message of judgment, yes, but to those who have forsaken the voice of God and who have no interest whatsoever of turning back to Yahweh on his terms. There's a contrast being made between this Gentile family who graciously receive God into their home, over and above a whole nation that has broken their covenant with God. This breaking of the covenant naturally brings about this curse upon them and the people around them. The consequences led to famine of the land, sickness and death. But here Elijah is then speaking a word of mercy to a widow who does not know the true voice of God. She is in a position where she literally must test the spirits, so to speak. But clearly Baal is failing them. I'm sure all the priests did all they could to theoretically please this false deity, so the natives are not too impressed by the Israelites. Why should they trust them now as the ones to truly speak the word of God? Elijah's probably seen by this woman, as he first enters her land, as no different from the others. The drought has been for so long. Surely if a true prophet from Israel were to do something, he'd have done it by now. But there's something different about this man. Elijah performs a miracle for the widow and brings hope back into the house. An abundance of bread has been provided out of what was to be her and her son's last meal before they had given in to their fate of death. There was no more food, and so in their apathy toward life, they may as well give up some of their last meal. What difference would it really have made to them? But the word of the Lord is spoken and heard. It is received and it is obeyed. Elijah specifically tells the woman to do this for him, and her act is blessed by the fulfillment of God's word. Whether she really knew what she was doing or not, this simple act of faithfulness proves the devotion of God's word sound. The seed of faith is thus planted, and in a matter of days, if not moments, this Gentile woman is about to learn that Yahweh, through a right relationship with his people, those who believe, delivers more than just bread. Yet even this bread gives the distinct impression already that this Yahweh is the God of life, over and above this Baal the Israelites keep talking about, following the popular priestess Jezebel. But now, presumably, Elijah is teaching this widow the true word and how the people of God had abandoned him over these last few years for the lust of this other God. And so her faith grows and she has a relationship with God over and above any other child of Abraham in her day and age, withholding, of course, the faithful remnant for which there are some in every age. But then again we have this strange occurrence of the son's death through illness, as if the famine hadn't done enough damage. And after this special gift of the miraculous bread, suddenly it's as if it hadn't taken place. And so now the faith of this woman really is being tested. And out of this trial, as she succeeds, she will see that the Lord God is even more powerful than she could ever have dreamt. There will be a resurrection. Was this planned? Does God kill the boy? It's a mystery. We may as well say that God killed Lazarus so that he could raise him from the dead as well. Of course, that's not how it works. Even when Jesus said such things as, "This has come to pass so that you may see and believe," sin or its consequences are never arranged by God. He simply knows of it and takes every opportunity to show mankind of his love through it and its inevitable consequences. So what God does do is make sure Elijah is there at the right time and place. It's quite dramatic. I don't even think Elijah himself was aware that this was going to happen. But what he does know is the way of the Lord. He knew that it would be his will to raise him from the dead, and that's exactly what happens. As if it weren't enough to show that Yahweh is the God of life by providing bread, the sustenance of life, he shows that he is life in the best way possible by showing that not even death can contradict his existence. There is no better proof for life than that the Lord would infallibly show his grace in this way. And there are so many levels to God's communication of love in this. For though the Lord had proven through Elijah that he is the true God through a simpler miracle, he clearly wishes to engage with her on a deeper level, to really bring home the point that he is life in a spiritual way that she may even never have conceived, that he is the resurrection and the life, that we don't just live this mortal life. Rather, all who live this life can live forever, also one day with him in paradise, a tradition and prophecy, of course, given to the people of Israel from the beginning, but for which is now given to even this Gentile woman. You're listening to Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Allman. We'll take a break now, and when we come back, we will continue with more on what it is for God to not only sustain our life, but redeem it altogether. He doesn't mean to simply give us that which gets us by, but which promises life everlasting through him who sacrificed everything for us, he who is the bread of life, the true manna from heaven. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. I am Pastor Gordon Allman, and this is Faith That Functions.
If you like what you're listening to, then let your contacts know about Lutheran Radio UK. Use the Spread the Word function on our website, lutheranradio.co.uk, and tell your friends on Facebook and Twitter. Alternatively, you can write the emails of your contacts in the Tell a Friend field at the bottom of our main page, and we'll send them a personalized invitation to listen. Help us to proclaim the good news of Christ by telling others about Lutheran Radio UK. And don't forget to subscribe to our newsletter, and we will keep you right up to date about our programs.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
To understand more of God's teachings.
Every time I learn something new, because on my own I couldn't understand everything.
I like it when the pastor explains the context. I find it really informative.
They help me understand what Jesus really meant.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible studies are very important in the life of a congregation, indeed in the life of a Christian. As we study, reflect, and discuss God's Word, what it means and what it means for us today, we grow in faith and understanding of what discipleship with Jesus is all about. And all this in the company of brothers and sisters in Christ. Bible studies are worth it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find a Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
The cantatas of J.S. Bach form one of the most impressive musical achievements in the history of Western music. Over a period of several years, Bach wrote a new cantata every week to adorn the worship of the St. Thomas Church in Leipzig. A breathtaking task, producing some of the world's greatest church music.
Pastor Tapani Simayoki combines profound Lutheran theology with exquisite music as he introduces a cantata written by Bach for each Sunday of the church year.
Sunday Cantata. Tune in to enjoy great Christian teaching through delightful music.
Go to LutheranRadio.co.uk for times and podcasts.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, all about Christ and to all God's people.
Before the break, we were talking about the family of the widow who was visited by the great prophet Elijah, a Gentile family no less. They were given a miracle, that which gave them sustaining life through miraculous bread. But God was not satisfied with embracing this family with this sustaining bread of life. He wanted to show them that He was and is the eternal life, bread that would last forever, whereby they would never be hungry again, in which you and I have seen the complete fulfillment in Jesus Christ our Lord. If you, the listener, have any questions or comments, please do send in an email to us at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Back to the message. This woman is given the privilege of receiving the law and the gospel firsthand. She's given a vivid image of death, which is to remind her of her sin and its ultimate consequence. This fate is not just for her sick son, but for all mankind one day. It is, in its raw state, the message of the law which gives us complete hopelessness and despair, at least in and of ourselves. When this reality is grasped, the true messenger of God always gives a message of hope afterward, for we are to understand that God will save the day, and with faith in the true God and not this false Baal, who only ever promises temporary life through sustenance, but of course wrongly so, for he is a false God, with faith in Yahweh there is life everlasting. As the Redeemer as well as the God of life, the Lord promises to one day redeem all of creation. How? This in the time of Elijah was yet to be revealed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it did not mean that Yahweh could not be considered the Redeemer God and God of life. It is how He reveals Himself to His people in every generation. And like pastors today, Elijah is the mediator between this widow and God. Through Elijah, this household is blessed with God's good gifts. In the end, the widow still puts her trust in Yahweh. At the death of her son, she doesn't toss Elijah out on the street, but gives him the boy. And so immediately Elijah takes him and prays to God in earnest over him. As in Job, there is an element here of the Lord giving and the Lord taking away. Why? Because God likes playing with us like puppets? No, but because everything does belong to God. We are His creation. There's no question, He is the Creator, and as He has shown time and time again, His proper work is to give, sustain, and restore the breath of life. If the clay on the turning wheel is becoming misshapen, then the potter will remold it again. It is His good will to make us perfect. The true prophet of the Lord knows this, and so he cries out to Yahweh. The Lord, of course, listens always to the true supplication of His people. The life of the boy on this occasion is restored and given back to the mother, who is now in no doubt as to whose word she can believe. What a wonderful thing that is. Now she knows Elijah's true purpose in coming to her home, and so does he. It was never to come and give her bread that would still cause her to be hungry, but bread from heaven, bread of life, that never runs dry, the news of her Redeemer God, who will not just give her life through sustenance, but life everlasting. Like the woman at the well who yearned for living water so that she would not have to keep coming back to the well again, something had to click so that she understood God isn't just talking about something to keep us going. He's talking about having such a relationship with Him that we know we will live forever because He gives everlasting life. Of course, again, this message is even more profound as Jesus himself reveals to the Samaritan woman that he is the Redeemer God, who is the life. And so that's where we are, really. We see narratives like the one here with Elijah meeting the Gentile household as stories we can relate to because Jesus promises us such life. And in this way, God has done nothing short of continuing to give us his promise to mankind, the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob from the beginning, even since the promise to Adam that he would crush the serpent's head, not just the devil, but everything he brought, the temptation to sin, sin itself and its consequence, eternal death. How do we know this? 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 to 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people." This is the message of the prophets today. If we are wise, like the Gentile widow in our text, we will listen to them and we will know of greater things done in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our God of life. We know that Jesus is the Word of God. He is the one we can believe, the truth. Jesus cried out from the cross that the Father not count our sins against us. Luke 23. The Father hears his voice. Thus Jesus redeems us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. Again, we learn that Jesus delivers more than just bread. We are to see that there is a much worse fate awaiting us than drought and hunger. We aren't to simply worry about sustaining this life, but life everlasting. But the good news is we are to see that not only does God provide our daily bread for life, it is he who provides everlasting life through such equally impressive bread, that which is greater than the manna from heaven that was given even to the Israelites whilst escaping the Egyptians. Yes, Jesus Christ, who is the bread from heaven. For if we believe in him, we shall not perish in sin, but live forever. Why? Because God graces us as he did that poor widow by giving us the full message of the law and the gospel. We are shown that because of sin, we too are facing death, and that in and of ourselves the challenge to overcome this fate is pointless and devastating, outright hopeless. But then the good news is given by his prophets. He loves us so much that he shows us the ultimate gift of life, the overcoming of death itself, by Jesus' death on the cross for you and me. We trust Yahweh and put our lives in his hands. As the widow gave her son to Elijah in faith, we put our life in his hands when we confess that it is his word alone that cures, that we can but humbly come to him to receive his sacraments for the forgiveness of our sins, to renew our spirit. We know that because he is the bread of life and because he invites us, we eat of his very body and drink his precious blood. We are so thankful that he remembers our sin no more and restores both our body and soul, that we come back time and time again to praise his name, the name of Jesus, the name above every other name. We may forever in our relationship with the Lord then continue to listen to his voice as we are this day. May we be forever certain of his grace and mercy as he assures us of the resurrection and the life, as we hear again the stories of, yes, the miracles and wonders he did on earth, but more importantly, the evidence that he is the Lord of life, as not even death could contain him. His life today bears witness to his victory over the grave, and we will take comfort in this knowledge that on the last day we too shall rise as we hear his wondrous voice calling us out again from the dust of the earth as a loud trumpet blast. For those who believe in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. Here, this day then, we rejoice that God comes to us in his means of grace, his word and sacrament. We rejoice that he comes to us because where he comes in his word, by the grace of his spirit, he gives life. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. The podcast of this program, as well as previous episodes, are available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Allman. I serve a lovely congregation in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. Thank you for listening. If you want to hear more, then tune in next week as we again delve into the richness of God's Word in the next episode of Faith That Functions, where we will again find out what the text meant for the audience of its time, who Jesus was speaking to, and what it means for us today. Let us discover together again the wisdom of Scripture. God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you soon on Lutheran Radio UK.